Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. We got a fun pre-spring ball episode for you today as the Huskers are about to kick off spring ball this very week. First, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for the free newsletter. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow all the social media accounts. And generally, you can listen to all the episodes on the website if you want to. Yeah. You can watch all the episodes. You can generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. That's commonfan.co. It costs you nothing but a little bit.
And one-stop shop. Just a one-stop shop. You can do it. Get all your Common Fan kicks on that website.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We're getting into spring ball. The season will be here before you know it. Get on it.
Fans. I can even do it. I'm not very good with technology, as you guys know.
Except video.
I've navigated that website. Yeah. By the way, there's video games going on in the background, but right now, just so you know, so if you hear anything loud, I apologize in advance right now.
Okay.
Jeff's a 65 year old in a 42 year old's body when it comes to technology, except for video games. Also, subscribe on YouTube, Common Fans. We recently broke the 1,000 subscriber barrier.
Yes.
Very excited about that. We're only going up from there. But everybody subscribe on YouTube, another way to keep up with all of the Common Fan activities. Check out cpbeef.com, certified Piedmontese, Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the States by Nebraska farmers and ranchers. It's delicious. It's the best beef you can get anywhere. Great steaks, great ribs, great roasts, ground beef, bacon, all the things you could want. And you can use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, at cpbeef.com to get 25% off your order. 25% off anything that's not already discounted on the site. And they'll ship to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. So check out cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN. Guys, let's get right to it. Let's get right to the episode. Today, we're going to look at five Nebraska football players poised to break out in 2025. This is an exciting episode. Now, a couple things, let's lay the ground rules here. One of the rules was no Dylan Raiola. Jeff wanted to do Dylan. You could argue that Dylan broke out in 2024 already. You could argue he's poised to find a whole nother level in 2025, and that might be a breakout. But we're going to talk about Dylan so much for as long as he's at Nebraska. And I would argue he's already established himself as the starting QB, so that you're not poised for a breakout if you've already broken out. So anyway, we decided to do five players other than Dylan. And then the other thing is, a lot of times when we do these lists, Each common fan picks three or four or five or whatever the number is. Today, we did put our heads together in advance, and we settled on five players with a few extra honorable mentions if we have time. But we settled on one core group of players that we're each just going to talk about, because 15 breakout players felt like a lot and probably unrealistic. I think we can hope for five players to break out, right?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
15. We're capable of being reasonable occasionally.
From time to time.
Yeah, in the realm of reality. Yeah, if we have 15, we're definitely going to the national championship.
Yeah.
So
we're going with five. Book the flight. Book the flight, baby.
Well, it's another Sunday morning coffee talk too. We were recording this on Sunday. It'll be out Monday morning. I'm kind of getting used to this, guys. I don't mind spending my Sunday
I don't mind it. Yeah.
Oh, are you?
A little coffee.
You getting used to that?
Well, you don't like it, Jeff?
I don't mind it. I love coffee. Coffee's good.
All right, let's jump right in, guys. The number one player that we identified as a breakout candidate, and some common fans might even think this is stretching a little bit simply because of the way he ended the season. It's expected starting running back Emmett Johnson. Common fan, why'd you look like that, Medio? Common fan listeners. Tech issues?
Yeah, I feel like I was bouncing on my camera.
Okay.
Sorry.
Regular common fan listeners know we said Emmett going into the 2024 season was the best back on the roster. I would argue by the end of the season, he proved that to be true. Best all-around back. Common fan listeners know we are super high on Emmett Johnson. But guys, part of the reason I thought it made sense to put him on this list is because he was huge against UTEP in the opener, and then he disappeared against Colorado. Yeah. And I felt like that happened about four times where it'd be like, okay, Emmett's back and they're finally going to use him as a regular back. And then he'd get three carries the next game or whatever. And it wasn't until the very end of the season, which I'll talk about in a minute, until he really established himself as kind of the go-to guy. But just kind of weird. I thought the running back usage last year was weird overall. But what do you guys think about
it? I'm just so sick of – I mean, and maybe it's just the old school part of me. I'm so sick of, running back by committee. Why? To me, it's a case of you don't have a guy, the guy. So then it's like, okay, well, we can have him do these little things that he's good at. And we can have him do this. And maybe it's a case of there's not that many running backs that can do all the things you need. But, it used to be, you'd have a workhorse.
Yep.
Right? Most teams. Unless you're air raid, throwing it 50 times a game. So I'm all for establishing a guy. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska, for whatever reason, hasn't done that for 10 years. Ozigbo is probably the closest thing we had to a guy. Other than that, it just seems like it's always been, nobody got 20 carries a game. That was unheard of. So I'd like to see that. And even if it's not 20 carries, 15 carries and five catches or something like that. Well, we need to get Emmett involved and in a rhythm. So I would love to see him get 20, 25 touches. I don't know if we need to get to the 30 range, but 20 to 25, I think is attainable and reasonable for a guy that I think can consistently get us at least 4 or 5 yards every time he touches the ball. But he just hasn't had the opportunity for whatever reason.
Yeah, I would like to see him break out just because I'm really digging this Emmett Brown shtick that we got going on the last podcast. I want that to continue. Same. So the more that he's involved in the football game, I feel like I can quote more and more Back to the Future scenes. If he busts a big run, I want to bust out 88 miles per hour. He jukes somebody out of their shoes, 1.21 gigawatts. I want to quote a lot of these things. So damn it, Emmett, do a good job this year. We want you to break out because – we're all Back to the Future fans, and we want to keep quoting that movie.
Yeah, for those of you younger common fans, or for those of you who aren't super hardcore Back to the Future fans, the famous Doc Brown, the fictional character, his real name in the movie was Emmett L. Brown, Dr. Emmett L. Brown. And we accidentally, I think Jeff accidentally called Emmett Johnson Emmett Brown on the last episode, and it completely, it's become a thing now. So
yeah,
Emmett Brown, 1.21 gigawatts. So here, guys, I looked at, and I love that, Jeff, and that's like a total G off in Lincoln,
That is a very common comment
right there.
Very common fan thing.
Yeah. Yep. Here's what I looked at some numbers this morning, guys. It was really interesting. So on the year, Emmett had 117 carries for 598 rushing yards. He had 39 receptions for 286 receiving yards. He had three touchdowns on the year. Dana Holgorsen arrived 9 games in. So after Holgorsen arrived, we had 3 more regular season games and 1 bowl game, right?
I see what you're doing here. I like it.
In the four games after Holgorsen arrived, Emmett had 314 of his 598 rush yards. That's 52.5% right there.
Wow.
He had 170 of his 286 receiving yards. That's 59% of his receiving yards after Holgorsen arrived. And 23 of his 39 receptions, which is almost 59% as well, were in the last 4 games. 2 of his 3 touchdowns were in those last 4 games. So we all saw it, right? We saw his role really take off after Holgorsen arrived. And I am so excited to see what he can do with a full offseason with Holgorsen.
Mm-hmm.
Holgorsen probably knows his name by now, yeah, instead of just his number. and that full season is the featured back. I think he will be that guy that you're talking about, Matty. I think he will be the featured back. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think he will have the best season of a Nebraska running back, at least since Amir Abdullah in 2014, when there was Heisman hype.
And that's a really good season. Yeah.
That's right.
Look at you with those numbers. Good Lord. I like those numbers.
You love the numbers, yeah, Jeff. You always love the numbers.
Percentages, coaches leaving, coaches arriving, but if we get the technology, TJ, you're going to be like that guy on NBC, MSNBC with like the board. Who is that guy that is during like election time? Like up there, like, if we go over here and we look at
the election guy?
If we go to Emmett Johnson here, we go here. Coach leaves and then he runs for this amount of yardage here. That's going to be you if we get the technology. You're going to be all over that board if we have that up in the background.
All right, love it. Any other thoughts on Emmett Johnson?
Just really excited to see him with Dana. And I think when like I think Dana really wants Emmett because, you know, the whole thing, Emmett was going to leave like very briefly. He was going to enter the portal.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like kind of short lived. So, you know that like the OC that's returning, Dana, like has a little bit of a hand in that. Like, I'm sure he said, I want this kid, you know, so I'm just really excited to see him in Dana's offense.
Yeah, that's gonna absolutely be awesome.
In the Midwest Coast offense.
Yes.
All right. Yep. All right. Number two, possibly not totally fair to the kid. We only did this with one of these players, the true freshman. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's like, the other thing about making this list of 5 is, we talked about this before we hit record, Matty-O. Do you pick a guy like Dane Key, who's had a ton of production at Kentucky, but never played a down at Nebraska yet? Do you pick some of these transfers? We largely stayed away from that, but we do have one guy who will be a true freshman. He's out of the high school ranks, and we went with wide receiver Cortez Mills.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out of Homestead High School in Florida. This is according to Huskers.com. He's a consensus 4-star across the recruiting services, one of the top 25 wide receivers in the country. He was ranked number 13 by ESPN, number 14 by Rivals as far as wide receivers in the country go. And you just hear a ton of hype about this kid. Everybody's talking about him. I think it was Oklahoma made a late push for him, and the Huskers were able to hold on and keep Cortez Mills in the boat. And so I think it's what I think it could be. And we know this staff will play young guys. So is he this year's Ja'Cory Barney, right?
Yeah.
Is he, you know, I think it will be really interesting to see. You've got the top 3, you know, you've got out of the transfer portal, Dane Key, Naziah Hunter, both of those guys have established production at the FBS level. Then you've got Hardly Gilmore, the 4th, a lot of potential also from Kentucky. So you got those 3 guys. You've got a bunch of young guys that we're waiting on to kind of pan out. And then Ja'Cory Barney.
Yeah.
And you got Janiron Bonner. I guess he was a contributor last year. Carter Nelson, not so, like, he got some snaps and he got to play early, but you know, was kind of hit or miss. Ja'Cory Barney is really the only guy that's like established as a Nebraska wide receiver of that group.
Yeah.
Now you expect a Dane Key to come in and take over a lead role. You expect Naziah Hunter. I think that, you know, those 2 guys maybe are your Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nair this year. You expect that, but I think there's room in that mix for a true freshman to have a Ja'Cory Barney like year this year. And I think if that happens, I think Cortez Mills is your leading candidate for that.
Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know much about the kid other than the, you know, the facts that you just stated. But I think this is like the new like thing. If you're going to be a premier college football program, usually those teams like the Ohio States of the world have like a guy like that every year. Like there's a true freshman that's contributing major snaps and catches, carries, whatever it might be. If you're doing anything, your football program's on the right trajectory, you got to have those kind of guys. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this kid, because I'm same what you just said. You know, there's a lot of buzz about this Mills kid.
Was he a 4-star? Is that right?
Yeah, 4-star across all recruiting services.
He's from Florida, right?
Yes, Jeff. Did you listen to anything I just said?
Yeah, I'm just making sure he's from Florida. I mean, he's homegrown down in like the SEC's backyard. So I think that somebody like that coming to Nebraska, that's pretty cool. I feel like we could see some potential there. And as a true freshman, you know, you kind of have to be with NIL now. Like, you need to step your game up immediately, because, you know, if things don't work out, you can always go somewhere else. So these kids kind of hit the ground running immediately. So yeah, I think he's primed to be that person, kind of like you were saying, TJ, in his true freshman year, to hopefully rack up some receiving yards. I'm excited for him.
Yeah. You guys both touched on it in kind of the new wave, new world, new age, not new wave, new age of college football. 105 man roster limit. Everybody's got options to transfer, like you said, Jeff. More, you need more of these guys to hit as true freshmen than ever before.
Right.
Like they have more options.
Is it 85? I thought it was 85. Is it 85? I thought it was 85.
It's 105. It's 105.
Oh, is it?
85 might be the scholarship limit.
85 scholarships. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. But 105 roster limit.
Yeah.
Which you used to be, it used to be 85 scholarship limit, but if you wanted to have 150 guys, you could have 150.
And
guys,
we went Nebraska, you know, would.
And we did. You were always close to it. Yeah. So you just need, especially at like a wide receiver position. I think a lineman probably comes in understanding he's going to lift and eat for 3 years before he sees the field. But a top-notch 4-star wide receiver ain't hanging around for 3 years if they're not seeing the field.
No,
right?
time to go.
For sure.
And you'll need at least eight guys, able-bodied guys to play. I mean, you just do. Most programs need 8-9 receivers.
Exactly. And we've rarely had that in the
No, we're lucky to have two. We're looking at two, maybe three.
Yeah. All right. So number three on our list of breakout players, or poised to break out. We kind of cheated here. We have two, but they kind of go together, if you ask me. And I'm really excited about both of these guys. We've talked about both of them before. Defensive linemen, Keona Davis and Riley Van Poppel. Okay. Let's just break this down for a minute. Lost a ton of production on the defensive line. Nash, Huttmaker, the Polar Bear, and Ty Robinson both graduated. Jamari Butler, James Williams both transferred. Prince Will transferred. I'm not remembering everybody even. Mm-hmm. They replenished it. They did a good job of bringing in dudes in the transfer portal. Elijah Judy's back. He was a JUCO. I think he transferred from JUCO a couple years ago. He was a transfer nonetheless a couple years ago.
He was from A&M.
Okay, that's good call. Bunch of guys. So they're like, there's some veteran, more veteran presence there. But we talk a lot about needing to replenish what we lost in the defensive line. And we need to do that in order for the defense not to have a steep fall off in 2025 from where they've been in 2023 and 2024. And I just wrote about this, like we went from let me see if I can find it. In total defense, I think I did. Shoot. Okay. I'm not going to go search for it now. We were like 100th or something in total defense in 2022. And in 23 and 24, since Rule and Tony White arrived, we're top 20 in total defense and scoring defense, both of those years. Right. So there's things that, you know, Husker fans would like to see improve, maybe third down defense, maybe turnovers, maybe sacks. But by and large, we've talked about it many times, the defense suddenly became something that was reliable and something that we could you reasonably believe we'll get off the field on third down, or we'll make stops, or we'll get sacks, or whatever. It got so much better under Rule. I think in order for that to continue, or at least avoid a massive fall off, the D line is going to be critical to that. And you need Keona Davis and Riley Van Poppel. I don't want to put it on them yet to say they need to be the new Nash and Ty, but they need to start emerging as anchors of this defense. And I looked this up, guys. I mean, these are both really what you would consider prime suspects for a breakout, right? I mean, Davis had, he played in 12 games as a true freshman in 2024. He had 10 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, right? But we saw at times, I'm thinking of the USC game where he like chased down the guy who made the catch and made the tackle like from the defensive line. Like we saw his like elite athleticism on display at times last year, and it's incredible. And then Van Poppel's the one, as you pointed out, Maddio, he played in 11 games as a true freshman in 2023. Mm-hmm. And then in 2024, he basically used his redshirt season. And the rules keep changing, but I think you can play in 4 games and the bowl
game.
And still keep your redshirt season. And that's what he did. And so he's coming into year 3. So he's been with Rule every step of the way. He's had a couple years in the weight room, a couple years in the program, all that. So I think, you know, Van Poppel is one as well that's really in line for a significant leap in 2025.
Yeah.
I agree. So the way I kind of view it is we titled this episode like people that we think are going to have a breakout season, but I think in the regards of the defensive line, it should be changed to the people that we need to have a breakout season type of thing. Because if Nebraska fans, if you've learned anything from us, if you give us something for a little bit and then you take it away, we get a little bit angry. Like, you know, the days of old, yeah. We're on the top of the mountain. You took that away. We're pretty upset about it. Now we finally have a defense that we could rely upon. We got used to it. Something that every game you could rely upon them getting us off the field and getting the offense back out there. We regress and you take that away. We're not going to be very happy. We're probably going to be a little bit more impatient again. So I would say in this regard, you're right, TJ. Not only do I think that they're going to take that next step, but I think that they have to just to keep us on track for where we're trying to go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm excited to see what Keona Davis can do with more snaps. You know, we were trying to get a lot of guys snaps last year. You had Butler, who you're going to have on the field for the majority of the game. And then just a lot of other bodies that we had to, you know, let them get theirs. Cam Lenhart and Prince Will and all those guys.
Yeah.
And then you've got Nash and Ty, who you don't really want to leave the field that often. But I think I mentioned this in one of the last couple of pods about Riley Van Poppel, RVP, as I'm sure we're going to probably be calling him. I can't remember if it was Rule or if it was RVP himself that said something like, you know, he had a meeting with Rule and he said, we're talking about redshirting this last year. And he said, well, you know, why don't you redshirt and then you're Ty next year? Like you're the Ty Robinson.
Yeah, right, right.
And he bought into it. And I think, like, what a better commercial for Matt Rule and what he's capable of doing with development than Ty Robinson. Like he convinces him to stick around and stay. And now the guy's going to be probably drafted in the top 3 rounds of the NFL draft. Probably doesn't happen if he doesn't come back. Maybe gets drafted, but it's probably 5th, 6th round, maybe even, you know, undrafted free agent. But what a great commercial for that. And I think RVP could end up being better than one or both of those guys, in my opinion. Ooh. You know, you hear the you hear the term a lot, and John Madden used to say motor. I mean, this guy's got a motor. You know, you say it about Grant Wistrom all the time. And I think RVP has a motor. Like a few plays that he's made when he's had time, and it was usually like in a short yarded situation, he would just get low, take on his block, and make a play, and then he was just so jacked. And I loved the energy. It was like reminiscent of those old Husker D linemen, like the Peters, Wistroms, Vanden Bosches, and those guys that would just go out of their mind if they made a play. And I loved that. That is contagious stuff to a defense and to the fans. So I'm so damn excited for RVP and for him to get the majority of snaps on the D line. I can't wait for it. I'm the glasses half full guy, like saying, who's to say these guys can't be better than what we had? That's where I'm at.
Love it.
Look at you.
Love that. I would also say we've seen it in what Rule has said publicly, and also like several of our guests just in 2025 have reiterated this point. Rule seems really confident that the defense is not going to drop off. He seems really confident that they're going to plug and play and replace what they lost on the D line and still have a really good D line and a really good defense. And so that has been a hallmark of most of the teams that Matt Rule has coached. And so I'm a optimist as well, like you, Matty O, and we're just going to believe that that's what's going to happen. And we're going to continue to play elite defense.
Look how positive you guys are.
You got to believe, baby.
Don't screw it up.
Believe.
That's right. Yeah, just hold your breath. Make a tackle. on that note, we'll stick with defense for our next player that's poised to break out. I think all Husker fans are going to nod in agreement with this one. Vincent Shavers Jr.
Yeah.
He was like a bullet on the field. He was all over the field last year. He played in all 13 games as a true freshman. He even started two games. I feel like was featured a little more prominently. Like, I feel like people who watch the Huskers regularly would be like, didn't he already break out? But I think he's got a whole nother level to find. So he had 25 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, and 1 forced fumble on the season. Pro Football Focus, which people have, you know, varying opinions on how accurate some of their stuff is, but I'll take them as legit. They ranked Shavers as the highest graded true freshman linebacker in the country in 2024. So nice. I'd say they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And then in the Pinstripe Bowl in particular, I mean, he was all over the field in the Pinstripe Bowl. He had 6 tackles. He had that one. He had his sack, his 1 sack on the season in the bowl, and 2 tackles for loss. And he forced the fumble in the bowl game as well. So he really went out on a high note. Super excited to see what he can do. And again, linebacker is another area where we lost John Bullock. We lost Mekhi Bayer to the transfer portal. I'm probably missing one or two other guys, but like we need Shavers. We need a guy like Shavers to step up and probably be ready to start in 2025.
Yeah. I mean, you think about the linebacker position. He might be our best linebacker already. You know, because I'm trying to think of who I'm drawing a blank on who else we've got. I mean, I think Javen Wright maybe is coming back. He's kind of in there.
Javen Wright's coming back. Willis McGahee, another young guy.
Yeah, he's a young guy. But Shavers, I think I'm really excited about him too. I think he's got a little bit of that like game changing defensive player thing about him. You know, I think you think about player like for us, it's like you think about Levante David and guys like that. Will make a play, make a strip, or make a big sack, or something like that, or a TFL, and can flip the game. You know, I always think about LeVar Arrington. I hate to bring up a Penn State guy, but the guy that would just fly around the field, block a field goal, you know, deflect a pass, just making crazy plays. And I think Shavers kind of has that kind of. Not I don't know about LeVar Arrington, but he's got some serious potential. And I think we really need that at linebacker too, because like you said, it's kind of the position where I'm like, okay, who there's a number of guys like, hey, we need some of these other guys to step up too. I'm expecting it from Shavers, but we need some other guys to step up at linebacker, and maybe it's some of the true freshmen there too.
I'm looking at the scholarship distribution chart, but you've got Deason McCullough and Marquez Watson-Trent, both senior transfers. You would expect to either start or see the field a ton.
That's
and
right.
Javen Wright is back, right? But then after that, like a bunch of names like Michael Booker III is a senior, Gage Stanger, Vince Genitone are juniors. You know, I'd love to see one of those guys get more time and contribute, but it hasn't exactly, you know, I don't think that's exactly been the case.
Yeah.
And then you get into the sophomores already, which Shavers is part of that group. So I do think Shavers will be in the rotation, and sorry, Jeff, you haven't even talked yet, but I didn't mean to jump back in. But the one thing I would say too about Shavers is he strikes me as a guy. Michael Sevier and Gary Sharp made the point that this year's unit will be more athletic and they expect them to make more game changing plays.
Yeah.
And Shavers fits that bill to me. Right.
There you go.
And I don't like, I would have loved Mekhi Bayer to stay. This is not trashing a guy who played a lot of good football for Nebraska and then decided to transfer. Not at all. But I think that's a perfect example of Shavers probably as a sophomore may already be ahead of where a guy like Mekhi Bayer was, who had a great season in 2024 as a junior last year. And I think Shavers is just more explosive, more athletic, and has the capability of making more game-changing plays.
I would completely agree with that assessment, sir.
With you guys always saying, like, I enjoy the Hollywood side of football. Like, to
you
me,
say
the,
that. We don't
do.
Say
I,
that. You,
yeah,
say
you
say
that.
You're the only one that says Hollywood.
No, you guys agree with me all the time. You say that, too.
Yes, you're Hollywood, Jeff. That's what everyone
Hollywood.
Thinks of.
Yeah. I should be wearing sunglasses right now for every podcast going forward. To me.
Like a feather boa around your neck.
I'm going to. Next time, mark my words, I'm wearing sunglasses at bare minimum.
Please do.
To me, the linebacker position, in my opinion, is like the most Hollywood position on the defensive side of the ball. Like, it's the people, in my opinion, that stick out to me the most. Like, after people leave Nebraska, they go on and do their thing in the NFL. I usually forget about them. But, like, people like Randy Gregory, I still remember who that is. Just the linebacker position, for whatever reason, sticks out to me. And so I would love for us to have somebody back there. It's just a beast, a monster that stands out, that you're always going to remember their name. Because I feel like with like defensive linemen, and maybe for you, Owens, because you were down there in the trenches, actually on the line, you know what it's like to play and you remember these types of people. For me, they kind of just get lost in the middle there for me. I just need people to jump out and stand out
How
to
dare
me.
You.
I feel like you do your job. You do what you're supposed to do, right?
Hey, Jeff.
The linebacker, I know who they are. So Vincent Shavers, I want him to deliver and be that guy that I remember that dude. That dude's a freaking beast, and he ripped it up on the field week to week when he played for Nebraska. What, Owens? Go ahead. Say something.
Do you know how a lot of those linebackers are able to run free and make those tackles?
Sure.
It's because of those D linemen.
It wasn't an attack. All right. It wasn't an attack. I just can't help it that, you know, the linebackers get a lot of the praise in a lot of these situations.
Sure. Just like the running backs and quarterbacks around. And receivers. The real hog mollies up front
Matt. Are Hollywood.
The ones helping. Yeah.
Hollywood, Matt. Where's my somebody give me
Jeez
my sunglasses?
Louise, Jeff.
So yeah, I want him to step up. I want him to be that guy because I love those dudes. Don't you remember the program? What's his name? Latimer? I think that's where like the idea of a badass linebacker came back.
Latimer was a lineman. He was a D lineman.
He was a lineman. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Jeff, Randy Gregory was also.
Alvin Mack was the linebacker.
That's right. Yeah, Mack. Yep, yeah. You're right. Yeah. But he was a badass too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's
Randy
awesome.
Gregory's a defensive end, which is a defensive lineman, Jeff. But that's fine. I'm glad you remembered him.
Yeah. He's a lineman.
Hey, your point is still a good point. You know, you just want the linebackers to make plays.
Yeah,
and be memorable. You want them to be memorable. Memorable.
I will say, if you're an interior defensive lineman, that's different. I feel like people like Trev Alberts, when he won the Butkus Award, I can't believe I just brought that up. Trevor Kendall Alberts, when he won the Butkus Award, he was really a defensive lineman.
Really,
I mean, he was a defensive end.
He really was a Russian.
Won the award for the best linebacker.
He should give it back.
He should give it back.
He wasn't really a linebacker.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Take
right.
that.
No, we'll take. Yeah. We'll remember Trev the player fondly. It's Trevor Kendall Roberts or Roberts. Trevor Kendall Alberts, the athletic director. That he. What would we call him? He who shall not be named.
That's right. Yeah.
Listen, Troy Dannon is doing a great job. We're moving forward.
Is. Yeah,
we're now moving we forward with
TD baby
director Troy Dannon. That's right.
Did A&M lose? They lost, didn't they? In the tourney.
They did lose to Michigan.
Good.
Yes.
We can all damn Good. Well hope so. Yeah.
A little feather in the cap for Trev with UNO making it to the tournament. You know, he pissed a lot of people off in Omaha. He cut wrestling and football to go D1
like
in basketball,
yeah.
I think.
Wrestling for sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're moving forward.
We are. Onward and upward, baby. To the moon.
Okay, so our number five, and it's actually number six since we had two for one of them, but our number five player poised to break out. I'm super excited about this one, guys.
Of course you are.
Heinrich Harburg.
Give him a series.
And I don't mean the occasional series at quarterback, even though I would still be fully on board with that. I felt like it made a ton of sense in 2024 when the offense started struggling. I felt like they should have just mixed him in, let him run a little option, let him use his legs and move the ball down the field when the offense was stalling. Didn't mean Dylan wasn't the guy. I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole. But I talked about it a lot in 2024. I still feel like it would have made sense for them to do it more than they did. But he's making the full-time switch to tight end. Guys, it's just a testament to what a tremendous athlete he is
Yeah.
that he was the backup quarterback all season. And then when Fedoni decides to go to the NFL and not play in the bowl game, Harburg started the bowl game at tight end.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to be pretty smart to be able to execute a position change like that. But you also have to be a really good athlete. Those are not like two positions. It's not like a tight end converted to wide receiver or vice versa. Or like Janiron yeah. Bonner is like a fullback that they kind of use as an H-back tight end as well. You don't see a lot of like switching from quarterback to tight end or vice versa that late in your career, basically at the end of your junior year of college. Yeah. And he was able to do it flawlessly and seamlessly. And I think he's going to be the guy or one of the guys at tight end this year. And so I'm just really excited for him to have a full offseason to devote to learning this position and then to be able to fully utilize his athleticism. He was like, if we wanted to run an old school option offense, then he was probably going to be a starting quarterback. But otherwise, he was never going to start at quarterback. But he's too good of an athlete. I think, what is it? His father was a college football player and his mother was an Olympian or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, he's just this phenomenal athlete that we're finally going to be able to put on the field and utilize to a full extent.
I think it's fun just because of he's a Nebraska boy, right? He's from Kearney, isn't he?
Kearney.
Yep.
Just
yep.
a Kearney fun Catholic. Story. You like to see those dudes that come here and stay in state do well. And so, damn it, I'm rooting for him.
And guys, if around too. Like he had plenty of reasons he could have left.
Yeah. And so he just seems like a genuinely good guy too. Sticks around, does the job he's asked of, nothing more, nothing less. And yeah, like you said, TJ's a phenomenal athlete. So I'm rooting for him. It's a good story, and he just seems like a really cool dude. So I'm rooting for you.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen what he can do with the ball in his hands. I mean, running the ball, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He threw a couple of deep balls, but we've seen what he can do passing the ball, and it wasn't great. Let's just be honest here, but tremendous, tremendous. We've detailed it at length on this program, the respect we have for Heinrich Harburg, aka yeah. William Wallace. I love it. I love that he's moving to tight end. You know, if we can figure out scheme ways to get him the ball, I'm all for it. I think it's brilliant.
Well, and Owens, you talk about, that's a great point about how well he moves and how fast he is. Most tight ends are not that athletic.
Right.
They might have the size, they might have the speed, they might have the hands, they might be really good blockers, but usually they don't have it all like that. Now, I don't know how good of a blocker he is, but I think he's like did the job, right? Like, and he's got everything else, right? And so I just think it's exciting to think about him.
I mean, we're talking about a guy that came in as a quarterback, now moving to tight end, and has also competed in the football team's dunk contest. Like that's what kind of athlete we're talking about. You just don't hear about guys like that very often.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we are killing it in the nickname department, by the way. We've got William Wallace, we've got Emmett Brown, RVP. Like, we need to keep this up. These things need to catch on to the general public. For all you listeners out there, well, you know, I know we have over 1,000 at least.
Now, Jeff, I don't know. We can't take credit for RVP. I mean, that's just the man's initials.
It sounds cool.
It does.
Well, that's it. For long-time Common Fan listeners know that we started referring to Heinrich Harburg as William Wallace, the great warrior, in 2023 when he was like, Jeff Sims was hurt. Harburg was kind of forced into duty as a starting quarterback. He was just getting beat up. He was running the ball a ton, and he just freaking battled. So that's why we call him William Wallace.
Yeah. Anyway, Matty, RVP makes me think of a regional vice president. So maybe we shorten it to Prez or something like that. I don't know. Yeah.
We'll assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you guys have time for maybe one or two honorable mentions?
Yeah.
We got through our list.
I think we should.
Okay. Let's do it. I'm going to throw one out there. We haven't talked about any offensive linemen yet. So I'm going to throw one out there. Grant Briggs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we've talked about this before, so I'm going to talk through it quickly. But basically, you've got two transfers who are likely going to start. Rocco Spindler.
Rocco!
From Notre Dame. And Elijah Pritchett from Alabama. Okay. Rocco's a senior, Elijah's a junior. Then you've got Henry Litovsky and Justin Evans, both interior linemen who have played a ton of football, both likely starters as well. Then you've got Turner Corcoran and Teddy Prochaska, who have been around forever, are both seniors, have both also played a ton of football. They both battled multiple injuries, so we're not sure where they come down. But And then you got Gunnar Gatula, who started at left tackle. He is only a sophomore.
Sophomore, yeah.
And so I feel like, but then you've got this group of a ton of guys that, you know, Rule brought in his first and second classes. I won't expect any true freshman to start at offensive line. That's probably a little much. But so I'd love to see any of these guys flash. Let me be clear. Brock Knutson, Sam Sledge, Jason Mishijak, I can't pronounce his last name. Gibson Pyle, Preston Tamu. Like, there's a ton of guys.
A lot of bodies.
Right? Yeah, a lot of bodies. And we'd be thrilled with any of them breaking out. But I think the most likely candidate is Grant Bricks. He was one of the top recruits out of the state of Iowa. He redshirted in 2024, but out of high school, he was one of the top offensive linemen in the nation. I'm excited to see what he can do and where he can contribute. And also, we've seen he's an interior offensive lineman. I believe that's where they've got him. And you've already got Pritchett, Gatula, Prohaska, Corcoran, all are tackles. Mm-hmm. And so maybe one of the younger tackles can break through, but I think Bricks is more likely to at least be in the rotation.
Yeah. I think he's going to get the chance. Right. I love that we have so many guys in the offensive line. It's not an issue of like, oh God, like, you know, who's going to fill in here? We've got multiple guys that can fill in those interior spots. Well, I guess Rocco will be one of those interior, and then we're assuming, right, you just said Pritchard will probably be one of the tackles. So I love that we've got options, you know, because there's been some years where it's like there weren't this many options. And we've seen with Corcoran and Prohaska, we've had a lot of injury history on the O-line the last several years. So another great reason to have, you know, we want to have depth.
Yeah.
And we got to have guys ready to play. And the way they've stockpiled offensive linemen, I think it's awesome. I think it's brilliant. And was Grant Bricks the kid that we parked the Nebraska equipment trailer outside his high school or something like that? Wasn't that this kid outside?
I'm drawing a blank there.
I think maybe. We did, but, and I don't know much about him other than I love that a guy that, is from Iowa decided to see the light and head west to brighter, greener pastures, to where
better corn
and better and
air
and,
quality is better.
Better,
is
better, even, stadium, is even,
better people.
Is it light where they're at right now? Is it still dark there? I'm just curious.
Probably. I don't know if the sun shines in Iowa. Does the sun shine in Iowa?
I don't think so. Those damn windmills. God, I hate those windmills. Get those things out.
Turbines, Jeff.
I don't even know what time it is in Iowa right now. All right. Let's do one more because we mentioned his counterpart. We'll say Willis McGahee IV, and we mentioned him earlier. Another young linebacker who played in all 12 games as a true freshman, 13 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, and 1 pass breakup. Career high, another guy who flashed in the Pinstripe Bowl. Career high 4 tackles in the Pinstripe Bowl, and so he's another guy right along with Shavers, and obviously he comes from his father's Willis McGahee, so he comes from serious football pedigree. Mm-hmm. Great athlete. And he's another one of those guys that we got a couple transfers plus Javen Wright, who you figure are the top three in your rotation at linebacker, but we absolutely need Shavers and McGahee and maybe a true freshman or two to be regulars in the rotation. And so I think what we saw from Shavers and McGahee last year gives a lot of hope for what they can do this year as well.
Do you think that the substitutions or the amount of snaps divvied up will remain similar with John Butler as DC? Do you think that was a Tony White thing, or is that a Matt Rhule thing? That's, you know, play a ton of guys and kind of spread it out. What do we think?
I don't. That's a really good question. I don't know. I like it, mm-hmm. right? And you saw mm-hmm. guys like Cam Lenhart and Prince Will be freshman All-Americans because they got the chance to play when they were true freshmen. And I think it helps now when you lose a bunch of guys to the transfer portal, you have other guys who have played, they've seen the live bullets, they've played a ton of snaps. So I hope they keep doing it, but I also think it, like, if a guy's not ready, he's not ready. So like, we'll just have to see where things come down and who's ready to get out there. Is Dawson Merritt ready to play right away? Is Christian Jones ready to play right away? So we'll just kind of have to see.
Yeah.
But the other thing I would say, and let's be clear, we are not taking anything for granted. Nebraska football is not in a position to take any game for granted, but our non-conference schedule is really weak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe Cincinnati was okay last year. They lost a bunch of close games. They had a losing record, but like, they're still, you know, in that transition from, you know, to Big 12 to the power conferences. And so maybe Cincinnati would be tough, but our other two are really weak. So you have to assume that's an opportunity for a ton of guys to get on the field, see who can do what, and see who can help you in Big 10 play.
Yeah. And I think Michigan's the first Big 10 game at home, I think. And you don't, so the other thing is you don't want to get starters hurt
playing in
that non-con schedule. So yeah, it's going to be fun, guys.
Wow. Times.
It really is. Geoff, anything on McGahee?
Well, he's a linebacker, so it's Hollywood, right? Right. So.
I don't know, Jeff. Like, is it?
I don't know about that, Jeff. That might just
I think,
be a Jeff.
I agree with that.
I think you Jeffed up cool. with that one.
No, I did not Jeff. I did not Jeff up. Did not Jeff.
I
Jeff
you. I consider the defensive backs Jeff. No, I'm Jeff you. Go Jeff yourself.
Oh my gosh.
I think DBs are more Hollywood, but you, Jeff.
No, come on. Wasn't Brian Bosworth?
Deion Sanders, prime time.
Wasn't Brian Bosworth Hollywood linebacker?
Hollywood defensive player of all time was Deion Sanders, a defensive back.
Oh, whatever. I'm serious. Wasn't Brian Bosworth a linebacker? The linebacker?
Yes.
Yeah, Bosworth.
That's Hollywood. Come on. He just looked like a star. Come on. He looked like a pro wrestler.
He was a punk.
He was.
He was also on steroids.
Two other guys. Two other guys real quick.
A lot of guys were back then, Jeff.
Yeah, a lot of guys were. Two other guys I had on the honorable mention list really quick. Harley Gilmore, IV, mm-hmm. Brian Christopherson in particular highlighted him as a guy that they're really excited about. Super young, tons of potential, has 3 years of eligibility left, transferred from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Really excited to see what he can do at the wide receiver spot. And then Cam Lenhart was, as I mentioned, he's a defensive lineman. He was a freshman All-American.
A little bit quieter year last year.
2023, but... yeah, a little bit quieter year in 2024. There are a lot of guys who had to eat in 2024, as you pointed out, Matty O. Can he have a resurgence?
I like the way you put that. A lot of guys had to eat.
Well, do you call it a breakout? If he busts out in 2025, is that a breakout because he was a freshman All-American in 2023? But would love to see him sort of reach the potential that I think we all think is there.
Yes.
Yeah, so... good episode. Good discussion, guys.
Hey, yeah. Look at us.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Gilmore, fella. We're definitely going to have to call him Happy, right? Like, that's another nickname that we can throw out there. Okay. I'm all about the nicknames, guys.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Well, it's hardly Gilmore. So it's close.
Yeah.
It's close to Happy. Exactly. Happy Gilmore. Mm-hmm. Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out. So
it is.
Yeah. Right. I'll check it out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll give it a whirl. I don't have high hopes for it, but I'll give it a whirl.
You know, it sounds like we could almost do an offshoot movie pod, guys. I don't know.
Yeah, well, because we all have a ton of free time. We should definitely do that.
Yeah, we have tons of free time.
Well, it's not going to be as good as the original, but there'll probably be a few laugh out loud moments.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
More than likely, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Looks exactly. Like there's a lot of pro golfers in this one, too. Which
yeah, really, that's fun.
I think that'll be entertaining.
All right, Common fans, spring ball starts this week, so we're going to have a ton of great guests throughout the course of spring ball. We get to the other end of spring ball, guys. We're past Easter. We're pretty much through April, and then you've only got May, June, and July until fall camp.
And those go by fast.
Really, really in there. Yeah, yep. Exactly. So we're getting there. We made it through the doldrums of January and February. We've made it to spring ball, and it's only up from here. The Common fans will be here to carry you through all the way. Way through.
Yeah, we've got broad shoulders.
Yeah, that's the weather. Exactly right. The weather's starting to get nicer. It's starting to turn. I think we got the last of the snow out of the way. Knock on wood. Things are looking.
Why would you say that, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't know why you said that, Jeff.
Because guess what? Listen to this. I got a snowblower. I almost want it to snow again. I want it to snow. Come on, snow, bring it on.
Common fans, this has been years in the making of Jeff scooping his snow.
I wouldn't bend.
Who is the George Costanza of the group, the cheapest by far.
Yeah,
of
I wouldn't
the group.
Bend. I just
absolutely.
Would,
did you, did you get find of, it, was there a big deal or something like that?
No, I bought it from a coworker.
But well, that sounds about right. But also, instead of even shoveling, Jeff would just drink martinis and convince his neighbor to snow blow his own driveway.
That's not true.
But his neighbor moved. Your neighbor moved.
Did your neighbor move? Moved. Yeah.
That's did your neighbor with the snowblower move?
Erroneous.
Yes or no?
Erroneous. He did. Yes, he moved. Yes, he moved.
Yeah. That much we know. That much we've established. So Jeff will deny drinking martinis, watching his neighbor snow blow his driveway, but we all know it happened.
Yeah.
Erroneous. All
right, happy spring ball week. Happy March Madness. Yes. Hopefully your brackets are all doing well. Like I said, we'll be back at you with a bunch of guests soon. We'll be back. We'll have a ton of spring ball coverage, and that'll carry us right into the almost summer months. So lots to be excited about, Common fans. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.